Girlfriends, episode number 192, 6 toddler hacks for weary moms. Hello and welcome to Girlfriends. I'm Danielle Bean. I'm a wife and a mom, and I'm on a mission to help you know your worth as a woman so you can find peace, balance, and joy in family living. This week we are talking toddler hacks for weary moms. Even if you're not currently the mom of a toddler, some of these apply to older kids as well, grandkids, nieces, nephews. You know you need this information. Let's get going. Hey, girlfriends, welcome. Glad that you're here. I want to give a special welcome to anyone who's a new listener to the Girlfriends podcast. I am really glad that you're here. I hope you will find that Girlfriends is a worthwhile way for you to spend some time each week. Welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy that you're here. I'm also happy for those of you who are faithful listeners who come back week after week. Thank you for showing up. It's really encouraging to me to know that you are listening to what I share here. So I'm just happy we have this opportunity to get together and share once again on the Girlfriends podcast. So thanks for being here. All right, this week's topic is toddler hacks. And this came from my Instagram. Last week, I posted an invitation for questions on my Instagram. It was a little fun. It was kind of a fun way to come up with some new content and also get in touch with what's on people's minds. And more than one person requested help with toddlers as a podcast topic. So I thought, I can do that. I'm no longer a mom of toddlers, but I am looking forward to the future when I might have grandchildren and toddlers will once again become a part of my life. But I do so vividly remember the unique kind of exhaustion that comes from parenting toddlers, whether you have one or more than one toddler and kids at a time. It's really a uniquely exhausting thing. And it's unique in its complete exhaustion. I was just talking to somebody about this last week. I'm not a fan of those moms of older kids who say to young parents who are struggling through the baby years, through the toddler years, say to them like, oh, well, you think it's bad now, just you wait. Just you wait till they're teenagers, wait till they're young adults, wait till they break your heart in a million ways. I hate that because you know what? Every stage of parenting is difficult. Every stage has its own ups and downs and unique challenges, but also its unique joys and its unique triumphs. I think big kids are pretty awesome. And I don't think it's actually helpful or encouraging to say to a parent of, you know, a young child who's struggling through a difficult stage of toddlers. And let's face it, toddlers are tiring. They are challenging. They are exhausting. They are also awesome in the same way that big kids can be. So I don't think it's encouraging to say to them, oh, just you wait, it's only going to get worse, right? That's not helpful. It's not even true. I mean, yeah, your pain points shift. Your focus shifts as your kids get older, but there are always going to be challenges and there are always going to be joys to every stage of parenting. So don't say that. If you're a parent of older kids, don't discourage people by telling them just you wait and only gets worse. Don't do that. And if you are a struggling parent of younger children right now, I'm here to tell you it gets better in so many ways. And I know this because not too long ago, I was babysitting for somebody who has very little kids, and it was like all of a sudden it all came rushing back to me like, oh, yeah, when you're caring for kids like this, they are crawling all over your body. It's physically exhausting. Oh, yeah, you can't do anything like just folding a load of laundry. Forget it. Can't do it. Trying to make dinner. Forget it. It's like a huge challenge, a huge obstacle just to get basic things done. So my life has definitely improved in some of those ways that I think I tend to take for granted. And those of us who are parenting older kids, you know, rather than focus on some of those negative things that maybe you are challenged in parenting teenagers or whatnot, focus on the things that make your life easier right now. Try to remember some of those unique challenges. And if you are going through some of those toddler years, there's a special sweetness there too. And I know it's hard to see, especially when you're just depleted, when you're exhausted, when you're sleep deprived, when your kid's having yet another tantrum. And some kids are more challenging than others during this stage, during the twos and threes and fours. Some of them are super sweet all the way through, and some of them are going to just push all your buttons. So know that, okay? Anyway, I thought I could share toddler hacks that also some of these can apply to older kids as well. But I thought to myself, what would I say? What 6 things would I say in a general sense, could be helpful during the toddler years? What bits of advice might I offer? Things that worked for me? Not getting real specific in any kind of parenting hacks, but toddler hacks in a general way. So let's get started on my list. The first thing that I thought of when I thought, what's a toddler hack? What would I say to a struggling parent who's sleep deprived, walking around exhausted like a zombie? So the first thing that I thought of, and this is telling because this was the number one thing that I thought of when I thought, what made parenting easier for me back then? And this does apply to older kids, is I put a crib mattress on the floor in my bedroom. Yep, it's genius. Okay, so let me explain why I did this and how it worked. So toddlers have this way of not staying in their beds at night. Some of them. And you may be struggling with that. And it may be disrupting your sleep way past the baby years when you feel like I should be able to sleep. But this kid is coming in and waking me up all hours of the night. And we're struggling to have this toddler stay in their bed. So what I did during those years was I put a crib mattress on the floor in my room, put sheets on it, a blanket and a pillow. And I let my toddler, whatever one it was, toddler du jour, know when you come into my room at night, you don't need to wake me up. If you want to be close to me, you can. I'm not telling you can't come in here, but I am saying, don't wake us up. Just go to sleep right here. This is your little special spot that's near mom and dad. And let me tell you, this worked brilliantly. Okay. It's not going to work, of course, if your child is sick or needs their sheets changed or whatever, or needs kind of talking down after having a bad dream or whatever. You're still going to have those things. But this worked great for when toddlers and older kids, I mean, up until the age of 10, I would say some of my kids were still coming in my room at night. Anyway, this works great for those ones who are just in the habit of coming and going to mom and dad's bed. Now, you may like having your kids in your bed, so that you don't need this solution. But if you are like me and after a certain age feel disrupted by a child in your bed who, you know, I remember my son Rafe when he was little, he loved to be in my bed and we called him Starfish because that's what he would do. He would starfish in the bed, like arms and legs out as wide as they can be. So he's taking up as much room as possible. So if you're all about the family bed, then you don't need this tip. But if you are struggling to sleep, if you're struggling for some uninterrupted hours of rest at night and your toddler is disrupting that, then this can be a great solution. Because I never wanted to tell my kids that they couldn't come and be close to me. That's sweet. And I want them to have that security. If you can come to see mom and dad at night, you can be close to us at night if that's what you want. But this felt very appropriate that there was a little bit of a separation there. And most of my kids did take advantage of that at some point. And they kind of outgrew it. It wasn't some big thing. I just remember one day, this is sad now, realizing nobody's needed this mattress on the floor in a while. So I packed it up. So, you know, that's a very simple hack, but one you might not have thought of if you're struggling through those kind of sleep wars with whatever toddler you have in your household or even an older kid. But I found that that was a very nice, easy solution to something that's a pretty common problem without making me feel bad, without making it feel like I'm rejecting my child. And many of them took to it, you know, and they would come on a regular basis. I especially remember my daughter, Juliet. She would come on pretty much every night at a certain stage when she was pretty little, but she liked it and it wasn't a problem for her. She liked the fact that she was welcome to come in. She didn't have to wake me up. It worked great. I would wake up in the morning and there she would be fine. So anyway, if you're struggling with that, that might be a hack that you haven't thought of, putting a crib mattress on the floor in your bedroom. This could also be done other ways. It doesn't have to be a crib mattress. You could have some other sleeping arrangement inside of your room or close to your bed that could work for them. So having that sleeping space in your room, I think, is really helpful for toddlers. Okay, also related to sleep deprivation, are you noticing a theme here, is having quiet time every day. Now, your toddler may take a nap. Your toddler may not take a nap. And I think we talked about this on the podcast not too long ago where someone was struggling with their young child not taking naps anymore. And I do so remember when my kids would give up naps that it was a struggle because I kind of counted on that time where we could have a little respite from chasing the toddler around or having to constantly be, you know, keeping them from killing themselves. But have quiet time in your day. So if they're not napping anymore, then still have instituted a time each afternoon where they're expected to be quiet, where you're going to be looking at books or listening to music or just lying down. It's a good habit to teach them to spend a little downtime each day, but then it's good for you too. It gives you a little bit of a break. And you might say that, you know, you have to be in your room during this time, or it might be you have to, you know, stay in this area. Mama's going to be here lying down on the couch or reading a book or having a cup of tea or whatever it is. And it's great training for them to kind of learn to respect your boundaries in that way, but also learn that they need downtime and mama needs downtime too. I think that's a really good thing for them to learn. So however you set that up, I have a friend who does this brilliantly, and even her older kids, she's homeschooling now, still have downtime every afternoon. There's this period of time in their schedule where they're expected to do something quietly on their own. And it may or may not work out perfectly every single day, but I think establishing that routine and that expectation that we're going to have quiet time every day is a sanity saver. So you may not have them napping, but it can give you a break, at least a mental break, can give you a moment where you can, you know, just sit and stare at a wall, you know, whatever it is that you need to kind of recover from time with your toddler. So establish quiet time as a regular part of your routine with your toddlers. I think that is hugely helpful. And for sure, I've done that through the years, maybe not as organized as the friend that I mentioned, but it's for sure been something that we've established through the years. I remember distinctly one summer when Dan was working, he taught for over 18 years. And so he would usually have another job in the summertime. And I remember this particular summer, I had little kids. I don't even know which child I was pregnant with at the time, but we had quiet time in the afternoon. They would play in the pool and pregnant mama would stick her feet in the pool for whatever length of time in the early afternoon. And then we'd go inside and the ones who were little enough to nap would nap. I would nap. We'd close the shades. We'd have quiet time. The kids who weren't napping would, you know, quietly look at books or whatnot. So hugely helpful to establish that inside of your routine for your own sanity, but also it's for the good of your child. All right. Third hack, read to them. Now, this could be part of quiet time, but I think quiet time should be more you're doing your own thing and they're doing their own thing. But reading to them is so formative. Such a beautiful way to establish a bond between the two of you. A beautiful way, especially if you're going through a tough time with your toddlers. And now I remember different challenging phases with each of my kids. And having reading time was a way for us to sit closely together, sitting in my lap or sitting right next to me, just kind of sharing that space and doing something pleasant together, where it wasn't about whatever the struggle was, whatever, you know, they were dealing with, I was dealing with. It's really a pleasant way to establish a peaceful routine in your home and in your family, not to mention all the huge benefits to your kid. If you're reading to them, they're improving their vocabulary, they're improving their social skills, they're improving their listening skills, their imaginations are being stimulated by the stories, or they're being edified by the beautiful imagery or the stories or the themes inside of the books that you're sharing with them. It's a great opportunity for you to teach them things through stories. I absolutely always loved story time. We would do story times any time of day, really, that we felt like we had the time and we would enjoy it. But especially, you know, during quiet times, but then especially at the end of the day before bedtime, wonderful way to just have that pleasant bond with your toddler. I have never met a toddler that didn't love storybooks, didn't love story time. So take advantage of that. And if you have a toddler who is reluctant to sit still, I mean, this is a great way to practice that. Reading a story doesn't take that long. So you can start with, you know, one book and you're going to sit still for the book and you're going to enjoy the book. Good way to inspire a love of reading and learning, even in very small children. All right. So that's my third one, reading to them. Fourth, I want to mention having a mantra. Now, this could be a prayer that you repeat during difficult moments, maybe saying a Hail Mary, maybe saying, Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place all my trust in you. Maybe just, Jesus, help me, calling on the name of Jesus. But also just a mantra that you repeat to yourself, something that's true. Like I remember during certain years of my life, it was really helpful for me to remember and kind of have running through my head, today is not forever. Because that is the temptation toward discouragement and despair that we have during any trying time is like, this is very difficult and it's going to be like this forever is what we're tempted to think. But that's not true. It's not true at all. I remember once years ago, I was looking at old photos and I saw a picture of my son, Stephen, with he was wearing just a diaper in this photo. He was kind of in the background of it. And his diaper was duct taped all the way around. And I just remembered instantly, oh my gosh, do you remember when this kid would not keep his diaper on? Do you remember what a challenge that was? How exhausting that was? How horrible I felt all the time, like my kid's always taking off his diaper. Well, that didn't last forever, I realized in that moment, because I don't even remember when it stopped, but obviously it did. And I was no longer needing to duct tape the diaper to the kid. But how funny, how many little trials like that do you go through, especially as a parent of a toddler? And it feels like this is forever. And that's the most discouraging thing. That's what causes you to despair is, this is so challenging. This is so hard. And I'm going to have to deal with this forever is what you're tempted to think. And yet it's not true. Today is not forever. It's not going to last forever. I used to find it helpful too, to just remember like they will, you know, go to college someday or get married someday. And this issue that I'm dealing with right now will have been resolved in whatever way by then, kind of thinking into the future, kind of giving yourself that big picture perspective, which is so hard to have when you're in the throes of it. So that's simple. Just reminding yourself today is not forever, but having some of those short prayers at the ready, maybe praying to their patron saint, whoever you named them for, maybe just saying, Mary, pray for me. Asking Our Lady to help you in that moment, that struggling moment inside of your motherhood. She won't fail to help you if you're calling on her. But even like I mentioned, just praying a Hail Mary, I always found it helpful, whether my kids were toddlers or not, inside of moments of frustration to pray a Hail Mary before I respond. Because sometimes we kind of spiral downward because we're reacting emotionally to what's going on around us, to the ways in which our kids are pushing our buttons, to the fact that we're sleep deprived, to all of those thoughts that Satan puts into our head, like this is going to be like this forever. Nobody else is dealing with this. Nobody appreciates me. This kid is horrible. All of those things that we're tempted to think when we're struggling, that the antidote is prayer, right? Inside of those moments. But also the part of the antidote too is having a more broad perspective, more universal perspective about what you're going through and why you're doing it. Why are you a parent? Why did God place you in this role? Now, I know sometimes when you're despairing, that's what you're thinking is, why? Why am I here? What was God thinking? This is ridiculous. But just, you know, that calling out in prayer is really a beautiful response to those kinds of frustrations rather than lashing out or giving up or just, you know, collapsing in a puddle of discouragement. So look for little things that can remind you, right, to say those prayers, to call out to God in those moments, or just a mantra like remembering that today is not forever, that it's not going to be like this forever. It absolutely does change and your kids do grow up. It happens. Okay, the fifth way that I want to share about how to handle life with toddlers, another toddler hack for you, is related to having that mantra of today is not forever, is connect with other people that are in similar circumstances, but also connect with other people who have survived your circumstances. So people who are a little bit further along in the parenting game. So, you know, cultivate friendships among people who can commiserate with you, that you can call up and say what your two-year-old did, and they will top it with, you know, a terrible thing their two-year-old did, and you will both feel that you're not so alone in the crazy. But then I found it was really helpful as a young mom and as a struggling mom to have women in my life who were a little bit further along in the parenting game that I could call them up and say, hey, this is happening. And they weren't so far away from it that they had forgotten what it was like, but they were kind of veterans in a way that they had survived it. And even just their existence was encouraging to me. Like, okay, they got through and, you know, their kid is 10 now and is doing great. And their life looks like it's pretty together in all of these ways, despite the fact that they had toddlers once. So connecting with other people that can commiserate with you, but also that can encourage you with their example, with the fact that they survived, or encourage you even with advice that they might offer to you, or prayer support that they might offer to you. Even just being a listening ear, really helpful to have people in your life that can play that role. So we've talked about the importance of having good girlfriends here on Girlfriends, of course. But I want to reiterate that in a unique way for parents who are taught, who are parents, people who are parents of toddlers, you have a need to be able to vent these feelings and frustrations and connect with other people and let you know that you're not crazy, because sometimes that's what you feel like. Like this life is insane and I'm the only one going through it. And there's nothing more lonely and discouraging than feeling like you're the only one going through that. So connect with people who can remind you that this is a shared experience. The details might be different. You might be struggling through something really unique with your toddler or young child who's pushing your buttons, but maybe you're not. But even if it is something really unique, everyone can relate to the struggle. Everyone can relate to the, you know, the exhaustion, the unique physical and spiritual and emotional exhaustion of parenting young children. Everybody who has been a parent can relate to that. And then others who are going through it right now, like you are, can be a unique source of encouragement to you in letting you know that you're not alone. So reach out to people. If you don't have those relationships in your life, it's not okay. You need to fix that. You need to find out how you can reach out to other people. I'm not saying you have to have all these best friends and it has to be a major time commitment, but you do need a network of people that you can reach out to, whether your own sisters or a good girlfriend or a cousin or your own mom or your grandmother or an aunt or a girlfriend at work, somebody that can relate to the sorts of things you're going through. It's hugely, hugely important. And then once you have those relationships, it's important to make sure you're getting together in real life, in the flesh, on a regular basis, because there's no replacement for that. I love being able to text my girlfriends and say what's going on and either get a shot in the arm or a little bit of encouragement or just an, oh, that must be so hard, or a kick in the pants. Sometimes that's what you need. Someone to tell you to put your big girl pants on and go do your job, that this is what you're made for. God gave you the grace you need to be the parent of this child. And sometimes you need someone to remind you of that. So if you don't have people who can play that role in your life, this is something you really should focus on, especially if you're having difficulty through the years of being a parent of young children. Okay, so look for ways to connect with other people. And then finally, my sixth hack, toddler hack for weary moms, is to pray for them. I know you do pray for your kids, I'm sure you do, but pray for them, especially looking toward their future. This is something that was hugely helpful to me, especially when I was a young mom, was their futures felt so far away to me, like the idea that they would have a vocation, that they might get married, that they might go to college, that God has a special plan for them as grownups, right? And I found that praying for them, praying for their future spouses, was really a helpful way for me to remember that mantra, today is not forever, and to remember that God has a plan for them and that I am honored and privileged to be a part of that plan, that I want to look to support them in doing the work that God made them to do and, you know, giving my time and my efforts in all these sacrificial ways when they're young is one small way that I can do that. And I found that it was really a great reminder to me to have that prayer practice of praying, looking forward to their futures. So I always recommend people pray for their children's future spouses or for their vocations. They might have a vocation to the religious life or the priesthood, but pray for them to know their vocations when they get older, or if they are to be married, pray for them to marry good people and pray for the person that they're going to marry. This is something that's been beautiful for me as a mom now that I have kids who are older. I have kids who are getting married. And so I'm seeing those prayers come to fruition because I'm seeing the fact that, oh, I prayed for, you know, my daughter, Kateri. I prayed for her future spouse when she was just a little toddler and was, you know, trying me in many ways a day. I prayed for Brian. I didn't know it was Brian, but that's her husband. And so when I prayed for her future spouse, I was praying for him. And now my son, Ambrose, who's engaged to Paulina, I was praying for Paulina all those years ago. So what a beautiful way to see prayers answered and kind of The way that God kind of had that plan for their lives way back when I was a struggling mom of crazy toddlers who were driving me up a wall. So look for unique ways that you can pray that are forward-looking in their lives. I find that's a really helpful, positive way to pray for your children, which of course we should all be doing anyway. Okay, so those are my six toddler hacks for weary moms. First of all, the bed in your bedroom, the sleeping space in your bedroom that's separate from your bed. Second of all, have quiet time every day. Third of all, read to them. Fourth, remember today is not forever. Fifth, connect with others who are in similar circumstances or a little bit further along the road. And then finally, pray for your toddlers, especially looking forward to their futures. But more than that, I just want to say to anybody who is struggling with parenting in any way right now, whether you're parenting a toddler or a teen, or you're worried about a grandchild, whatever stage of life you're in, whatever unique way you're being challenged as a parent right now, I want to encourage you to know that God made you the parent of that child on purpose. He picked you and he picked that child from all of eternity for each other. He picked you for that. So he's going to give you the grace you need to do that well. So lean on that grace. ask him for that grace and have confidence in the fact that you are so up to this task. Even if you don't feel like you are, even if you feel like you've messed up, even if you feel like you need to start all over, even if you want to throw in the towel, you are up to this task. God made you for this job. God made you that child's parent. And he did it on purpose. And he knows all about your weaknesses and your flaws and your failures and your wanting to give up. And he knows all about those unique ways that that child is challenging you and going astray. He knows all about it. And he called you to it anyway, right? There's that saying, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And you are called, and he's going to equip you for this task. You need to have confidence in God and trust in his love and his mercy and his providence inside of whatever challenge you're going through as a parent right now. And I'm going to be praying in a special way for all of you who are parents of young children, who are struggling with that, who are weary. I'm going to be praying for you, especially this week. I'm going to be holding that prayer intention close to my heart in the coming week. All of you right now who are listening, who are struggling as a parent of a young child in whatever way you're struggling, know that you're being prayed for in a special way this week, and lean on the graces that God wants to give you inside of that challenge. We're going to take a quick break now and come back with some of your feedback. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Sonia Corbett, the Bible study evangelista. When I became Catholic, I had a really hard time understanding the role Mary was supposed to play in my life. So I went to her and I told her, I just don't get it. I need your help. And guess what? Mary did just that. She showed me a way to pray that has revolutionized my entire life. Mary has been called the mother of listening. She didn't just hear the word. She knew how to hear it in light of her own relationships, circumstances, and habits. And then she let the word transform her. I realized that I had to share what I was learning about Mary's way of praying with others. So I wrote How to Pray Like Mary, a step-by-step guide to discovering God's voice in the scriptures and letting him transform your heart. I invite you to learn more about how to pray like Mary at ascensionpress.com or on Amazon.
All right, we're at the part of the show where I like to share feedback from my listeners. You guys, I love you so much. You are so good to me. I receive so many emails and notes on social media from people just letting me know that they appreciate the podcast and the different ways in which they appreciate the podcast. Also, just trusting me with some of your heart, trusting me with what's going on in your life. And, you know, having confidence that I will pray for you, that is so encouraging to me. I am so grateful for that. I'm so honored by that. I'm so humbled by the fact that you allow me in your life in that way. So I heard from a number of you who had feedback on the episode about family prayer. So people, that was a hot topic. People really were interested in that topic of family prayer. So here's just one that I'll share with you from Sarah. Sarah said, thank you for your recent podcast on tips on praying as a family. My husband and I have three children, and while we certainly try to pray together as a family daily, sometimes it is a struggle. I liked your tip about having children lead prayer time. I'm also a catechist for first graders, and this is a good tip for the classroom as well. I also like the idea of saying a Hail Mary when hearing an ambulance and making a sign of the cross when passing a church. You are right that the more we can incorporate prayer in our daily living and the more we show this to our children, the deeper relationship they will have with God. Thank you also for the tip about Catholic women run. I'm an avid runner, just completed my first half marathon, and I'm excited to find a way to incorporate my faith into my love of running. I appreciate your podcast and your book so much. You are a wonderful example to all Catholic moms. Keep up the amazing work you are doing. You are touching more lives than you know. God bless. Sarah. Thank you so much for taking the time to send that to me, Sarah. And thank you for sharing that you're going to use some of the tips as a catechist. I think that's a great idea. I hadn't really been thinking about that. But thank you for volunteering your time as a catechist. As a mom, I'm sure that's not an easy commitment to make. But we need people like you to be volunteering in our parishes for our religious education program. Such an important part of community life in a parish. So thank you for doing that. And yes, Catholic Women Run. I'll put a link in the show notes to that for anybody else interested. It's a great way to combine your faith and your love of running. Congratulations on running your first half marathon, Sarah. I think that's wonderful. So anybody else who's interested in finding out more about Catholic Women Run, I will put a link in the show notes. And the show notes for every episode of the Girlfriends Podcast are always available at ascensionpress.com. So check it out there. Thank you for that note, Sarah. Also on the topic of family prayer, I heard from Mary, who connected with me on Facebook. Just so you know, you can always email me, people. You can email me danielle@daniellebean.com, send me a voicemail at that email address, or connect with me on social media like Mary did. I'm Danielle Bean on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So Mary wrote, "Hey, Danielle, I just listened to your podcast about family prayer time. Thank you for all of your thoughts and ideas. We have recently begun a family prayer time before bed each night with our 5 kids, ages 6 and under. Let's all pause for a moment and say a prayer for Mary, because that is exactly the sort of challenge we're talking about on today's show. That's a lot of little kids, and to be struggling through prayer time, making that effort. God bless you, Mary. I think that is wonderful." So their prayer time, she says, involves a Hail Mary and their prayer intentions. It's amazing to see how quickly even the little ones have learned that prayer. It's also very sweet and sometimes funny to hear who and what they pray for. I hope to start incorporating some of the ideas you shared. You mentioned praying with a child to their guardian angel. I have been curious about this idea for a while, and I was hoping you could share some of your thoughts and experiences with guardian angels and how to get to know them. Thank you, Mary. Well, thank you for that question, Mary. I think that's a great question, because what a wonderful thing to teach your children is a devotion to their guardian angel. And there are easy ways to do that. So first of all, there are little prayers to your guardian angel that you may or may not be familiar with. There are two that we pray together as a family and that I've taught my kids through the years. So I'll put these in the show notes as well, but I'll just share them with you here because they're very quick and they're very easy for kids to memorize because they rhyme. So the first is, "Angel sent by God to guide me, be my light and walk beside me. Be my guardian and protect me, on the paths of life direct me. Amen." And then the second one, also short and rhyming, is, "Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love entrusts me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and guard and rule and guide. Amen." So those are two quick little prayers. And again, I will put them in the show notes if you want to print them out and share them with your kids, memorize them yourself, encourage your kids to memorize them. Nice little prayer to teach your kids to pray. You can pray it at night as they're going to sleep. Teach them to kind of place themselves in the care of their guardian angel as they're going to sleep each night. It can be a habit that lasts their lifetime, one that they'll remember long into the future. So that's a beautiful way. And since you mentioned, Mary, getting to know your guardian angel better, I think just praying to your guardian angel is the way to do that. Years ago, I remember this happened online, that somebody was sharing that you should pray to your guardian angel and ask them their name, and that they would reveal their name to you in some kind of way. I was kind of intrigued with that idea. But then I, very soon after reading that, read somewhere that this is actually a very bad idea, because if you're praying and asking to know your guardian angel's name, that you might be opening yourself up to an evil spirit of some sort that would let you know their name and have you praying to them. Now, I don't know exactly what to think about all of that, except I think it's best to avoid that. You don't need to pray to your guardian angel by name. You can give them a name if you want to. That might be a nice way. You know, you could give them a saint's name or something that's meaningful to you. But I've never felt the need really to do that. You just pray to your angel. Just pray to your guardian angel, and know that this, you're going to have this unique relationship with this angel throughout all of your life. And this is a great opportunity to teach that special blessing to your children as well. Just get in that habit of praying to your guardian angel. Okay. And then finally, also on the topic of family prayer, I heard from Carly on Instagram, who said, "How? Exactly what do you say when you pray with your kids?" So I love this. I love you, Carly, because you're just being open and honest and vulnerable and saying, "I just want you to walk me through this. Hold my hand." So I appreciate that. And I'm going to do that for you. So I will share with you exactly how I have prayed with young children. And actually, these words are ones that my own mom would pray with me when I was little and even when I was older. So kind of setting a prayer practice that could last throughout my lifetime. And so I'm going to tell you these words, and I'll put them in the show notes as well if you want a printed copy of this little prayer. And I think it actually is written by my mom, because she just wanted to teach us all the different aspects of prayer, kind of cover all the bases when we said our prayers at nighttime. So this is what she taught us to say. "Thank you, God, for my happy day. Take care of me tonight. I'm sorry if I did something wrong today. God bless me and God bless my whole family. Take us all to heaven one day. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Mary. Teach me to love you more. Amen." Don't you love that? It's so simple, and yet it covers so much. And it really teaches your children the basics of prayer, praying for themselves, praying for other people, praying in contrition for things they've done wrong, praying in gratitude for the good things that happened in that day. And so I still do, even with my kids as big as they are, when we sit down for family prayers, we start with these lines. And it's a beautiful way to enter into prayer as a family. You may not use exactly those words. You could write your own, just like my mom did. But I wanted to share that with you because Carly was asking for absolutely, how do you do this? So I would recommend just starting that way, Carly, and maybe then praying a Hail Mary together. Or maybe, as Mary shared, going around and sharing different prayer intentions before you pray a Hail Mary or other prayers. So there's no one right way to do it. And I think that ultimately is the most important thing to remember about family prayer, is that they're all different ways of doing it, and that God's going to bless your efforts. It's a beautiful gift that you give to your kids when you teach them how to pray, a beautiful gift you give to your family culture when you pray together as a family. Okay, and finally, a little bit of feedback that I received in person from listener Kathy, who I met up with at the Mass for the opening of the Museum of Family Prayer at my workplace in Easton, Massachusetts, at Holy Cross Family Ministries. Kathy was at the Mass for the opening of the museum, and she just shared with me afterwards that she listens to Girlfriends with her grandmother. Now, I love this. Kathy's significantly younger than me. So she and her grandmother spend time together each week, and she likes to spend an afternoon with her, and they make Girlfriends part of what they listen to together. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. I love that Kathy is spending this time with her grandmother. I love that Girlfriends can be a part of it. And nothing could be more encouraging to me than knowing that across the generations, we have multiple women from all different perspectives and walks of life who are an important and special part of the Girlfriends community. And that includes you. Just because you're listening, if you put those earbuds in, if you hit play while you're doing the chores, while you're working out, while you're taking a walk, while you're just resting for a few minutes, or while you're driving in your car, you are part of the Girlfriends community. And I am so glad that you are here. If you enjoy the Girlfriends podcast, please subscribe. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. It makes a huge difference with iTunes. It lets them know that you're listening, that you want to be listening, that you don't want to miss a show. So that's really helpful if you will make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast and then let somebody else know about it. Just like Kathy's sharing with her grandmother, maybe there's a woman in your life that you'd like to share the Girlfriends podcast with. Hugely helpful if you maybe share a review on iTunes or on social media or in person with somebody that you know would also like to become a member of the community here at the Girlfriends podcast. Again, you can get in touch with me at Danielle@DanielleBean.com or on social media. I'm Danielle Bean on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I always love to hear from you. I also love to connect with you in real life. So if you are interested in possibly having me come to your community, have me come to your parish, have me come to your women's group, either to give one of my retreats, my You're Worth It retreat or my You Are Enough retreat, retreats specifically based on biblical stories of women that are designed for women, by women. These retreats are a wonderful way to build up a community of women in your parish or in your hometown. If you're interested in finding out more about the retreats, you can go to DanielleBean.com/retreats. Or if you'd like to possibly look into inviting me to be a speaker at an event that you're planning, whether it's a conference or another event at your parish, I would love to hear from you. You can connect with me for that at DanielleBean.com/speaking. And then lastly, I just want to thank you for being here. Thank you for spending some time with me here each week at the Girlfriends podcast. I'm so grateful. Your presence truly is a gift to me, and I am so encouraged by the fact that you are listening. And until next time, I hope you enjoy your day and God bless your week. Girlfriends is a collaboration between DanielleBean.com and Ascension, the leader in Catholic faith formation.